She said, I'm just starting this program. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I have two children. I don't have a high-powered, you know, job or position. And she asked me, she said, well, how did you do it? And I said, I go to the temple every week.
Every choice I made, I can tell now that they were guided by the Spirit, where if I would have made an alternative decision, I don't think I would have been here today talking to you.
Wherever you are in life, you can launch from there. Use your personal experiences, because your personal experiences can be a creative catalyst to help you.
Hello and welcome to Latter-day Profiles. I'm Brian Howard. We're here at the LDS Motion Picture Studio in Provo, Utah, and joining me today is Garth Smith. Garth, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Garth is a renowned pianist, has done multiple albums, focuses on specializing in the arrangement of sacred hymns.
Yes.
So you may have heard this and not even known it if you're listening to some great music, especially on your Sabbath day, and it's some awesome piano music.
Thank
I think back in 2014, Sacred Hymns, How Beautiful Thy Temples, in 2015, every year they're
yes.
coming out, 2016, Behold the Great Redeemer, Christmas, my favorite, of course, 2017, it came out at Christmas, and,
yes.
and one coming out in 2020 with some classical arrangements of hymns, is that correct?
That's correct. I'm returning to my classical roots. I was trained classically, and this is going to be an album of classical music that is very reverent and very easy to listen to, and it's going to be called Classical Piano for the Sabbath Day.
Oh, that's going to be great. Good stuff to listen to. Make sure and check it out. So especially on your Sabbath. It doesn't have to just be the Sabbath day, but it's nice
right,
to have that
right.
music there as well. Especially if we start listening to Christmas music. I won't say how soon, but way before Christmas. So, you know, it's nice to have it.
Now, before we start,
yes,
can
yeah.
I give you a gift?
Yes.
If I can get it out of my pocket here. This is, oh my goodness, it's stuck. My second album.
Oh, there it is. Oh, how wonderful.
How Beautiful Thy Temples. And this is a collection of hymns that are based, they focus, hymns that focus on the temple.
Oh, wonderful. That's exciting. Well, you know, as we were starting with this, you were talking about, you know, your career and your moves. We'll maybe talk this, about this in a little bit, but it's nice to have temples all over the place, right? And
you're
recently moved to Arkansas. And,
that is correct.
Bentonville has got announced to have a temple right near where you're going to be. So that's exciting.
That is very exciting. And it was a shock to us. We've only been in Bentonville for 2 months. And I was telling my wife before we moved there, about the only negative thing about moving there is the fact that they're closest temple is about 3 hours away. And then in this last October General Conference, when President Nelson announced that there was a Bentonville temple, and he said, please bow your head in reverence and prayer, I couldn't hold back. I was in my home watching that, and we were kind of yelling and screaming.
Well, I thought there was a reason he did that in the women's meeting, because they're obviously going to be more reverent than the rest of us probably, but that's exciting. Well, as I was reading through some of your information, you started playing the piano very early. Your mom recognized some talent about 3, and you started taking lessons at 5.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy it at that point?
You know, I did. She said that I would stand at the piano and that I at age 3 and that I would pick out the melodies of primary songs. And she said, she's a classically trained pianist herself. And she said she recognized that he's got something. And so she started me in lessons at age 5. And I was kind of the unusual piano student, I think. I really loved to practice. And as a kid, my mother, she didn't have to like get after me to practice because I just enjoyed it.
Wow.
I enjoyed the challenge of getting a piece and learning it. And it was always fun for me. And so it was just something that I've always enjoyed. Music has just always been a big part of my life.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I have kids, and that's not the case with mine. Although, you know, once they start to get good at it, then it becomes more fun, I suppose. And that's probably
yes.
the case. So if you really love it, you get better at it, and suddenly it becomes something you really enjoy doing. Do you remember first performances? Do you remember your first time in front of a crowd?
Oh, yes, I do. I remember, I would have recitals. My mom did something that I thought was very smart. She, rather than teaching me as being my piano teacher, after 1 year, she kind of farmed me out to a very talented piano teacher. And we would have recitals with her. Her name is Lucille Lawson. I was raised in Brigham City, and she came from Chicago, and she was an immensely talented teacher. And so I do remember playing in my wards as a fourth grader. I remember giving performances in my elementary school, playing Chopin when I was in sixth grade, and Rachmaninoff in ninth grade, and you know, these kind of things. I trained very, very hard until I was about 16 years old. And then I broke my mother's heart. I was more interested in, at that age, in skiing and playing basketball, and she had these grand visions of me being a concert pianist. And but even though I quit formal lessons at that point, I never stopped playing. And it was always, I was always learning new songs at that time. You know, this is way back in the 70s, 80s. I was learning rock songs, and I was just kept playing. And as I served as a missionary on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona, I had an opportunity to use that gift of piano to share with the people, the Navajo people, and in performances, and also in just zone conferences, things like that. And it was just a great blessing in my life to have that gift of music and to be able to share it. And I learned very quickly that the reason that we have gifts, no matter what they are, whether it's music or whether it's being a mechanic or whatever it is, sports, we have those gifts in order to raise and lift other people and to bless their lives. And so I learned that very quickly. And that's why it's brought me so much joy and to be able to do that.
Well, I can imagine being as a missionary who plays the piano, and if you're willing and able, then you probably get called on a lot to do a lot of things, and maybe even you know, more than the normal in church stuff, and do some other things for families and missionaries and such.
Oh yes, I remember Elder Groberg was at that time regional representative. He was assigned to our mission, and he and his wife Jean would come to our mission often, and she in particular really enjoyed my classical piano that I would play in zone conferences. It was just a fun memory with her. I don't know, she probably doesn't even remember me, but I remember her coming over and thanking me for, you know, for the preparation that I did and for sharing those things. It's a fun memory.
So let's talk about your career path, because you're doing music. You didn't become the concert pianist that, you know, broke your mom's heart. So what, you know, what did you decide to do? Going to college, how did you decide what you're going to do career-wise? And obviously music's going to be part of what you do no matter what. But
yes, I realized that I probably would not be able to support a family in music unless you're wildly successful. And my father is an engineer, and so I decided to pursue the engineering path. And I graduated from a program that doesn't exist at BYU anymore. It's a design engineering technology, and that has since been rolled into the mechanical engineering department. And so I graduated from that, and then my first job took me to out of BYU, living in Huntsville, Alabama. And when I moved there, I had the opportunity to share my music in sacrament meetings, and had a good friend that took me. We were about an hour and 45 minutes away from Nashville. And so my friend took me and he said, I got to show you, we got to go to this place called the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, which turns out is like the Mecca for songwriters in Nashville. I'd never been to Nashville. I used to make fun of people that listened to country music. You know, I went there and I listened to these artists. These were the A-list artists who would sit around on stool, kind of like what we're doing here. Imagine four of these and guitars or keyboards. And they would play their songs that 6 months later would be number one on the radio. And I just fell in love with the craft and that. And so for many years then, I was in country bands, and I had been in rock bands and jazz bands previous to this. But I for many years, I seriously pursued being a songwriter in Nashville. With a name like Garth, you know, that was just natural. I used to joke with people when I was playing in the country band. I'd say, you can go home and tell your friends that you saw Garth live tonight. had a lot of fun with that.
You know, what was that experience like playing with the different ones? Obviously, different type of music, doing the sacred hymns versus, you know, doing the rock or the country. But still, fun to do.
Well, very interesting you asked that, because, you know, we have our wives to guide us and to help to give us good counsel, and I didn't often listen to that. And she would always say, Garth, you know, your talent really is in arranging hymns, and you should be doing that. That should be your focus. And I'm like, oh, but I'm having so much fun. And I didn't realize, honestly, that as I was being more involved in these bands, and we were playing in bars, and you know, it was just not the best wholesome environment to be in, and it was affecting me. I didn't see that. And it really, a long story short, it came down to the point of me having to make a decision in my life. Would I wanted to pursue, because I had offers. with my piano playing ability to go on the road with some bands and things like that. And I could have taken that, and it would have taken me away from my family. And I had some soul searching to do about when I reached that crossroads. And I decided, and I made the right choice, to focus on my family. And it was after that that we moved to California. I became an early morning seminary teacher, it was my favorite calling I've ever had. And during that time then, about in 2013, I had started to compile. People were coming up to me after I would play in sacrament. I mean, you should record those. Those are so beautiful. I think people would love to hear those. And so I started to toy with that idea. And the whole time my wife was like, yes, yes, this is what you need to be doing. And so I compiled my first album, Sacred Hymns, which you referred to, and released it kind of a grassroots project on Facebook, and it just exploded. I mean, it was just amazing to me. Before I knew it, I was getting emails from all over the world from people who had downloaded it, and then I had the company in Salt Lake City, a distribution company, who signed me, and which allowed me to put my albums into Deseret Book, and it's just been uphill ever since then. I've been so blessed, but it's not so much to me. I'm not seeking that kind of glory, because I realize, as I mentioned, that the reason that I do what I do is because I want to share music that uplifts people and brings them closer to Jesus Christ. And I had a very sacred experience when I was a seminary teacher, and I was reading a scripture that I'm sure you're familiar with in section, I think it's 58 of Doctrine and Covenants, that says men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and bring to pass much righteousness of their own free will. And as I read that scripture, it was like electricity went through my body. I mean, it was just the most powerful spiritual experience. And I felt it was a message to me. And I felt the message was, Garth, you have a gift, and you need to share a message about Jesus Christ, because there are people who need to hear it. And it was at that point that I sat down and I compiled and I wrote a fireside that's a Christ-centered fireside. And I titled it The Hymns, Another Witness of Jesus Christ. And that became my focus, not the sales of CDs. I used that to supplement or to allow me to share at my own expense, to travel across the country and to share this Christ-centered fireside with my wife as my co-narrator. It's multimedia. I mean, we're playing videos that have been had a professional company that created these videos that are synced to my arrangements using beautiful art and things like that. And we just have had the blessing and opportunity to literally travel all over the United States and share this Christ-centered message. And to me, that has been the most fulfilling thing that I have been able to do with music, because I've just seen the responses and the letters and that I get from people, how it has uplifted them and brought them closer to Christ. And I've had people that have told me that, you know, this after watching your fireside, I want to be active again. You know, I've had so many of experiences like that, and I could go on and on and tell you literally dozens of just amazing stories. But I think any of us, if we make the decision, if we have something that we're passionate about, we feel like that we have a gift, we can turn that gift and again bless the lives of other people. Just make the decision, and I promise the Lord will open doors for you to do that. And so if there's anybody out there who is pursuing music or whatever it is, you have a passion, yeah, and you want to turn that as a vehicle and as an instrument in the hands of the Lord to further His work and to bless His children, I promise the Lord will open doors and make that happen. So,
you know, as you're talking about your wife helping you to make the decision, how did you meet your wife, by the way?
At BYU. Kind of interesting story. We were in the BYU 100th Ward at the time, and my bishop, I love him, Bishop Ruhl Allred, he was kind of a marrying bishop, and I say that because nothing made him happier if one of his young woman and young men in his ward married each other. And he, when I moved into the ward, he called me to team teach the marriage preparation class with the woman who would become my wife. And so that's how we met, in the marriage preparation class. We would meet each week and study the lesson about how to make a good marriage. And as we prepared the lessons, I kept thinking, I like the way this girl thinks. And not only that, she's beautiful. And so, that's how we met.
Well, thank goodness for the bishop, right?
Right.
She set things up the right way. As you're going and doing these firesides, and your wife goes with you,
yes.
What's the main message? Is it the music can have the impact? Is it that we should seek for these things to develop ourselves spiritually? What's the main message?
The main
you
message
share?
Is about Jesus Christ. And we just happen to use the hymns to share that. And so the message is about repentance. It's about prayer. It's about the atonement. And we use 8 hymns in this particular fireside and talk about how the Savior, how we can turn to the Savior, that the hymns are like the scriptures. Just like the title of the fireside, the hymns, Another Witness of Jesus Christ. And that we can use the hymns like the scriptures to point us to the Savior. And that's what the message is.
You know, we talk about the different types of music. Of course, there's all kinds, and nothing wrong with listening to things that aren't hymns.
Sure.
But I've noticed, and I'm sure you do, especially when you do the fireside, we tend to follow along with the music we listen to. It tends to have a pretty profound impact on us, depending on what we're listening to. So maybe Sunday isn't the only day we should pull out the sacred
music. Right, and what I found is, I mean, I am such a music fanatic, and if you saw my playlist, it's like thousands and thousands of songs. And as I get older, and as I realize what's important and what is not quite as important, I find myself weeding out songs that I used to listen to that, to me, they just don't hold the same value anymore. Yeah. And I try to listen to, and I find myself just picking and choosing music that draws me, I mean, that lifts me. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a spiritual or a religious message. There's so many, every genre has positive, uplifting music. And so that's what I seek for. That's what I look for in my music selections.
Choose wisely. Yeah. You have a full-time job, a career. You work with Callaway.
Yes.
You design golf clubs, which is totally cool.
Yes,
I need some help because my swing is not very good. How do you work it with your time? Because obviously this takes a lot of time and, arranging and putting the music together as well as doing your full-time. 9 to 5 is never quite right, right? It's like 8 to 7 or whatever you work, right?
Right. And you're right. I mean, I do have to prioritize. And I served in Bishop Briggs and have been involved. And so between recording music, marketing my music, going and traveling in firesides, I really have to organize my time wisely. And that's where my wife comes in to help me with that and to, again, give me good suggestions and counsel. But we're a good team together, and I just, I just love her so much because of that.
Do you have, as far as scheduling specific times, you set aside time during the day, morning, evening, or something to sit down and work on your arrangements? How do you do that?
I practice every day, every day. There's not a day that goes by I don't practice. And this is something that I always share, like with youth. No matter what passion you have or whatever it is that interests you, try this. And this is what I do, and I've found to have been a big help with me. In 2 Nephi 32, verse 9, talks about praying to the Lord and consecrate that he may consecrate thy performance for the welfare of thy soul. And so to me as a performer, when I see the words performance, that catches my interest. And so as I sit down, not only before a performance, but every single time that I sit down to practice, I say a prayer. I bow my head and I sit there on the piano bench and I ask Heavenly Father, I thank him for the talents and gifts he's given me. And I ask him to consecrate this practice to me, myself, and also to him, that I might better my talent and that I might be an instrument in his hands in lifting his children closer to the Savior. And if you try that, no matter what it is that you have a passion for or anybody who's watching, it will change your perspective. If you do that, and especially consistently, it will totally change your perspective. And you begin to, you get this mindset of consecration and turning these gifts over to the Lord for him to use, and in return, by doing that, by turning that over, the return is joy. Mm. And it is just so, such a amazing feeling.
Feels pretty good, yeah. I'm wondering how you choose, for example, the type of music, your first one, the sacred hymns, and then through Christmas, now the classical ones. How do you make your choice and decide? Because there's infinite possibilities.
Oh, there are. There's such great things. And on my album, I always choose a couple of primary songs because those touched my life as a youth. And every album has at least one song that is at, not in the hymn book, but is recognized as a sacred hymn. For example, I did on my Temples album that you have there, one of the selections is The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, which was a hymn that used to be performed in sacrament meeting a lot when I was a kid, but it hasn't been since. And just last year, I teamed with Allie Gardner, who was a former member of Noteworthy, and she created a vocal arrangement of this. Oh, it's just stunningly beautiful. And it's on my YouTube channel. But and also on that album is one of when I was in Alabama, I just learned to love and gain an appreciation for the beautiful Baptist songs. And there's one called In the Garden. And of course, the garden represents a great part of the temple for us. And so I did an arrangement of that beautiful Baptist hymn, In the Garden. And so, yeah, so I don't limit myself to the hymns that are in our LDS hymn or Latter-day Saint hymn book.
Yeah, and that would seem to be that, you know, the music would be more what available to everyone. Of course, you're not looking at it as in particular LDS hymns, but hymns that everyone can share and benefit.
No, we just moved to Arkansas, and I'm getting to know my neighbors. We've only been there 2 months, and oh, the people there are so nice. And I just had a neighbor. I was walking my dog down the street, and she said, Garth. She came running out the door, and she said, Garth. She said, I'm listening to your music every night before I go to sleep. She's not a member of the church, and she and I'm just like so thankful for that. But she loves it. She just feels like it is. She can feel, even though she's not familiar with these hymns, she feels the spirit, and she feels like a calming influence in that music. And I took that as a great compliment.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was just thinking about that. Thank goodness, I guess, for social media, the blessing and curse of a lifetime, because you were able to get your music out that way. How important is that to have that outlet? Because obviously you've got picked up and because you're able to share your music with others.
Right. I'm an independent artist, and so I rely totally on social media for my marketing. And there are evils involved with social marketing and things like that. Of course, there's good and evil everywhere we go. But I'm trying to make my contribution to social media a positive, uplifting experience. And so, but yes, I have a Facebook page, I have an Instagram account, and I try to post things that are related to my music, but also things that are very uplifting and, you know, point people to the Savior.
Yeah. Well, Garth, people want to catch more. You've got a website, I think it's Garth Smith Music, correct?
GarthSmithMusic.com.
Also, yeah, I do a search on your social media on Facebook, Instagram, you're going to find that. And also get some samples on your website. Some samples, so if you want to check it out first there and listen to me, it's really, really excellent. So
thank you.
Really appreciate you taking the time and coming to talk today, and I wish you all the best. Thanks, Garth.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.